What's up, good people? What's going on? It's your boy Jamon Bolton here with another episode of the Jamon Bolton Show. Going to jump right into it. You know, we got a few things to talk about. We wanted to talk about NBA All-Star Weekend. You want to talk about some NASCAR news, surprisingly, right? And also wanted to talk about Shaq and Kobe interview. And of course, I want to dig into Black Panther, how great of a weekend they had. I want to talk about former Carolina Panthers receiver Ray Caruth. I'm sure people who watch sports and who follow sports know who he is, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. First, let's dive into the NBA All-Star Weekend. You know, let's talk about it, man. I thought the Rising Stars challenge was pretty good. You know, the World Team beat the Americans 155-124. Bogdan Bogdanovic from Sacramento walked away with the MVP. Looked pretty good. Jaylen Brown, he had 35 for the Americans. Looked pretty good. You know, the international team had a lot of flavor. You know, you got Joel Embiid, Lauri Markkanen. Got Buddy Hield. You got Ben Simmons on the other side. So they had some pretty good fire. It was, you know, I wasn't expecting anything crazy. You know, all the guys that showed out, you know, they normally do this anyway on a nightly basis. They just had a chance to showcase it more. So I was fine with that. You know, then we can also dig back into the activities on All-Star Weekend. Let's talk about the 3-point shootout. You know, I thought it was cool to watch. Wasn't boring. You know, Devin Booker hit a record 28 points in the final round. Klay Thompson scored 25. So it was pretty exciting. Those guys went, you know, they went head to head, and It was something that you kind of expected to see. I didn't expect it to be boring, you know. I will say, tell Paul George, don't ever do it again. You know, he entered the contest. And I give him credit for doing it because it's not an easy thing to do. But, you know, Michael Jordan entered it in like 1990, I believe. And he did pretty shitty, too. He had like nine points in a 3-point contest. So, I mean, it's not for everybody. Some people are in-game shooters. And I guess kind of pulling off the rack is a little bit harder than you might think it would be. Skills competition was pretty dope. It's the third year of it being the bigs versus the guards. Dinwiddie, I'm sorry, his name always screws me up, the Brooklyn Nets, he won an event. He defeated Chicago Bulls rookie Lauri Markkanen, who's been on fire this season, been pretty awesome. So he's the big man over there. He got defeated in the finals. So it's been the third year. First year the guards have actually come through and finally won. But we're going to get into the slam dunk competition, man. It was pretty dope. It was pretty damn dope, I might add. You know, it was Utah Jazz Donovan Mitchell. Can't really say it's his coming out party because he's been out already, but he put on a damn good show for the crowd, man. The kid's just something special. You know, he's just someone that we didn't see him doing this. We thought it would be somebody else that has this kind of impact. I mean, I love how he paid homage to Vince Carter. His creativity was amazing. He paid tribute to Darryl Griffin for the Utah Jazz as well, with the short shorts and the bounce the ball off the side of the backboard and that winky dunk over Kevin Hart and his kids. That was pretty dope. I mean, he was spectacular in every sense of the word. You know, the alley-oop off the other backboard onto the, you know, when he caught it in the air, caught a windmill. So it was pretty sick. I think that kid is, like, amazing. He has talent off the charts. I mean, he's in the right place as far as being able to focus on basketball and not get caught up in the nightlife in Utah. He's doing a pretty good job. However, I will say this, man. I think Larry Nance Jr., amazing. He reminds me of his pops with the, you know, with the big man, like the crazy athleticism. He mimicked his pops. He looked really good. The double tap dunk off the backboard was super dope. I mean, come on, man. Dennis Smith Jr., I mean, he got the only other 50 of the competition, but it's like, dog, come on, why? Like, I don't think they even looked at the. I don't even think they looked at the degree of difficulty with his dunks. You know, like the first dunk, he kind of did like the double pump between the legs. Then the second, you know, then he kind of had that reverse 360 with the wrong hand. Like, he didn't even get the scores that he needed, so he didn't make the finals. And I know if he made it to the finals, I should say, you know, he would have performed and did some nasty stuff. But you know, it's always next year, man. The kid is a damn super freak athletically. He jumps out the gym. You know, I will say to the NBA, though, man, like, the celebrity judges really went, they didn't do it for me. I get it. Everybody knows basketball. But it's nothing like having a dunker sit in that seat. I know you can't have Mike every year. I know you can't have Dr. J all the time, you know, things like that. But I just really feel like, you know, it was a perfect opportunity to kind of get in there, have the right people in there, and let everything go the right way. Celebrity judges, I can do without. You know, DJ Khaled is cool and good for the game. Mark Wahlberg is good to kind of bring entertainment into basketball. But I just think, you know, you kind of need to leave that alone for a little bit. Let that be. You know, get some dunkers there. You know, Shaq, get Dominique. You know, get George Gervin. Get some guys that are known as being dunkers. Like, guys that know what it's like. Like, because the crowd looking at Dennis, you know, Dennis Smith Jr.'s degree of difficulty is just like, yo, what's up? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it was cool. You know, Victor Oladipo, you know, I'm surprised he wasn't able to do as much as he was, you know, he could have done. You know, he missed a few dunks. So I liked it. I enjoyed it. Some people kind of felt differently about it, but I thought it was pretty dope. Donovan Mitchell did the damn thing. Loved how he paid homage to the guys from beforehand. Guy 6'3", he did the damn thing. So definitely looking forward to more All-Star weekends, but this one I kind of enjoyed. All-Star Saturday night, was it wasn't a sleeper like it's been in years past. Let's keep this All-Star weekend talk going on. Let's talk about the All-Star game. Now, you know, the big talk has been about the All-Star games being pretty crappy in years past. You know, last year was kind of an indication, like the score was super duper sky high. It was kind of like, damn, like this running up and down and watching them just give the ball up and do whatever. You know, Anthony Davis thinks he scored 52 last year or whatever. But new format seemed to work. You know, like, you know, the two highest vote getters are captains. They get to pick what they want from either conference. So I thought it worked. I mean, I thought it was pretty awesome. New format seemed to work. Seems like everybody was into it a little bit more this year. You can tell how it went. You know, the players played hard in the end. They would make, you know, they made it more attractive. Like, you look at the end when the ball bounced off. It looked like it bounced off Embiid's foot, and they gave it, you know, look, they said it bounced off KD's foot, and it really bounced off Embiid's foot. You can see LeBron and them going crazy. Like, guys are just really into it. I mean, that's kind of what you need. You know, like, the biggest examples of an all-star, like, all-star performance of guys that perform in the way they should perform, Rolando Blackman, I believe it was the 87 game in Seattle when he's sitting there screaming confidence, confidence, and he's at the free throw line and he hits the two, you know, he hits the two free throws. And when the second one leaves his hand, he screams confidence as the game goes into overtime. I think that's the game Tom Chambers got MVP, I believe it is. And, you know, you got the 2001 game with Marbury and Iverson with those guys when they come back. I mean, All-Star games have been competitive in the past, but it's kind of gone away from that. And, you know, this weekend, it was good. It was the closest All-Star game in years. Lived up to the hype. You know, I can't wait to see what it does in the future for the game. You know, Team LeBron defeated Team Steph 148-145. LeBron won his third All-Star game MVP. You know, missed out on a triple-double by two assists. You know, it was just good basketball. It was fun to watch. I wasn't pissed off watching it. I enjoyed it. I really thought it was dope. I really love what they did. I love how hard the guys played. You know, it was just something that was really different. It's something that the game needed. You know, for me, I always say that, look, you know, I know those guys are like, they're basketball fans. They love the game just as much as us fans love the game. But, you know, when people put their hard-earned money on the line, nobody wants to come and see a game that's 205 to 190. Like, dude, like, that's not – it's just a track meet. You know, make it competitive. Okay, granted, 148, 145 isn't what you call a defensive stop – a defensive game either. But this is what's going to happen. These are the things that's going to happen when you have all these players, all these all-stars on the court, you know. For me, I enjoyed it. I'm glad they were able to do what they did. I'm glad they were able to get out there, be competitive again, have us go, whoa, this is pretty damn awesome, and kind of go from there. You know what I mean? So it was good. You know, had no problem with everything. Had no problem with anything. I thought it was dope. You know, I love seeing LeBron go to the sideline during halftime and paying homage to the legends before him. You know, he's a big historian of the game. And just to kind of see that, like a guy who hasn't really lost touch with who he is, you know, paying homage to, you know, Bill Russell, Kareem, you know, Jerry West, and, you know, Doc. I love seeing that, you know, guy who's carrying the torch now. Will one day he'll be in that position one day, obviously. You know, he's the game's ambassador right now, and he'll be an ambassador to the game for the rest of his life, you know. But I love seeing that. But one thing that stood out to me, and I just found out about it because I didn't even notice it during the game, because it's like Jimmy Butler not deciding to play. Like, who decides not to play in an All-Star game? I get it. You know, everybody doesn't play a lot. Sometimes you got players that play 10, 11 minutes. Whatever. You make the most of your time. You know what happens. But, I mean, come on, decided not to play in an All-Star game because you needed rest? Like, you know you needed rest before you got to the game. If that's the case, to say, hey, I can't make it, I'm not going to be able to play. And I get it, he has every right because his team is actually being competitive this year. They got a chance to get a top three or top four seed in the West. So I get it. But a DNP in an All-Star game? It's like, I mean, you could have passed that to Lou Williams or Chris Paul. And also Lou Williams, because Lou Williams has never, ever, ever been to an All-Star game. He's right. Had Jimmy Butler said, hey, I don't want to play, I need rest, Lou Williams is in L.A., Get a jersey made up. Get his practice jersey. I'm sure he would have went out there and played his hardest. And it's kind of like, yo, dog, like, I get it. But it's still like, why do that? Why would you do that? You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't make sense. You know, I found it to be a little weird. You know what I'm saying? Like, I found it to be weird. I didn't like the fact that he did that. Just because somebody else could have had that honor bestowed upon him. Being an All-Star is not guaranteed every year. Who knows if Lou Williams is going to have just as big a year next year as he's had this year. But gotta wait and see. I don't really know what's up with him. I don't really know what's going on, and you know, with the whole Jimmy Butler thing with him doing that. But as far as Lou Williams goes, you know, he may be productive next year and may get a nod. But you know, only 12 players get it unless an injury replacement comes up. And like for you to sit out, it's like for you to sit out a game. It's kind of crazy. An All-Star game, going in for 5 minutes or something, man. I get it. That just seemed weird to me. But I mean, everybody's entitled to their own opinion. You know what I mean? So let me let that go, man. But it just. Still odd to me, man, but I'll let that one fall by the wayside. I just never knew anybody who's ever sat out in an All-Star game that wasn't injured. Before I move on from All-Star Weekend, I want to continue to talk about this the Shaq and Kobe interview, the players-only interview that aired on Saturday night. you know, it was good to see. You know, obviously we all know they've mended their fences a little while ago. And to be honest with you, when you look at the interview, you realize there really wasn't nothing much that was there as far as being angry at each other, as far as the way the media made it seem. It made it seem like it was a knockdown, drag-out battle. You know, they did, you know, kind of have a fight and go after it. You know, like I know Kobe tried to come at Shaq, as he described in the interview. Shaq tried to punch him, and, you know, Kobe being Kobe, stubborn and hot-headed. You know, Shaq missed the punch, as he described in the interview. But I thought the interview was great. I thought, you know, they both showed a lot of maturity. They shared a lot of insight about their relationship, and it really wasn't as bad, like I just mentioned. You know, you can see they both regret how things went, because they could have done a lot more. You know, the 04 finals, I mean, come on. The Detroit Pistons, I mean, they got a great crew. You know, Rip Hamilton, Rasheed Wallace, Ben Wallace. You know, you got Rip Hamilton and Chauncey. But, I mean, there's no way that they should have beat the Lakers that year. I know it was a lot going on with Kobe personally and his whole thing and his trial going back and forth. But you had Karl Malone, yeah, he was old. You had Gary Payton, yeah, he was old. But they could have done so much more. I think it was an amazing feat by the Detroit Pistons. But I think the Lakers had, you know, I just think the Lakers really had a chance to, you know, they had a chance to do more. You know, when you look at it now, you know, Kobe got 5, Shaq got 4. They both were winners in their career. You know, they won, you know, Shaq won 1 without Kobe, and Kobe won 2 without Shaq as the head of the team. So, which was great. I always thought that they would have a Magic and Kareem ending where, you know, the big man, who was Kareem back in the day, with Shaq, would kind of subside and say, okay, well, look, now is the time for me to take, you know, let me go back to the side and let me fall back, and you can take the lead. Like Kareem did with Magic. You know, Kareem knew, like, look, I'm getting old. Like, I don't want to keep having to go out there and score 25, 26 every night. Like, you go out there, you perform the way you need to perform, and you do what you're supposed to do. I think that would have been more reasonable for these two guys, because, you know, if you look at the Detroit Pistons series, that would have been 4 rings for both of them. You know, and I just think if they'd have been able to put it together and keep building pieces around them, and if Shaq would have maybe kind of gone to the side a little bit. And I get it, because they're 2 alpha males. We have 2 alpha males. Nobody wants to go to the side. Nobody wants to say, hey, I'm going to take a back seat. You know, Kobe and Shaq are, what, 7 years apart? 8 years apart? I don't even think it's that much. I mean, what, Kobe's going to be 39 this year? You know, so I think, you know, they got, it's a pretty good ways away. You know, 7 years. So in basketball, that's a long time. You know, Jerry, Dr. Buss made the right decision to kind of go with the younger guy, which is Kobe. And it made the right decision. You know, Kobe was close to leaving in Chicago. I didn't know how close he was. I thought he was just talking mess on an ESPN radio interview. But he said it was real close. They were even looking at schools in Chicago for his kids and things like that. So it was very insightful, very cool, very dope. You know, it was a lot. You know, it was just a lot for them to come out and come clean with. But it's good to see that they evolved. You know, I just loved it, man. Just hearing their stories, the Laker battles, and, you know, the whole funny story about after they beat Sacramento, the whole team mooned the Sacramento fans and things like that. So it was pretty awesome, though. I think those guys really, those guys are probably, you know, a lot of people will debate, you know, big man, you know, guard, center combo. Most people may say Magic and Kareem and things of that nature. But, I mean, it's hard to argue with them being the greatest 1-2 punch ever. It's different with Scotty and Mike because, you know, 2 and 3. But, you know, for a guard to the big man, I don't know if we've ever seen that. I don't know if we'll ever see that again. Yeah, we possibly, but I mean, just for them to be at their peak, to be at the peak of their powers like that, to have a Kobe Bryant and, you know, to have a Shaquille O'Neal doing what they do, it's just amazing, you know. But I know Kobe pushed hard, he worked hard, Shaq, you know, he did what he did. They were still able to be successful. I know hindsight is always 20/20, but deep down inside, I'm sure they both look at it and say, damn, yo, we could have had that much more had we worked a little bit harder. But nonetheless, it was cool to see them clear the air. Get everything out. Just talk on camera. Just chum it up and see how chummy they really are. You know, it goes to show the media will definitely create a story that's not really there. But that was a good interview. If you haven't seen it, check it out. You'll definitely enjoy yourself. Players only on NBA TV. I'm going to take a quick commercial break right now, and I'll be back with some more news. Today's show is sponsored by Troy Manson Signature Socks, with their slogan to stand out from the socks up. Come visit their website at www.tmsocks.com and check out all of their classic and sleek styles, as well as the Josh Malone and Joe Lockett Signature Series. You can also get ahead of everyone and get your socks for the spring, as the new 2018 spring collection is available for pre-order. They've been featured in the GQ British magazine as well as the Huffington Post, so you know I couldn't pass on getting myself a pair. Troy Manson Signature Socks, the official sock of the Jamon Bolton Show. I want to move over from basketball and go to something completely different, something that I don't really know much about. Talk about NASCAR. And I want to talk about NASCAR for a minute because Bubba Wallace, he finished second in the Daytona 500. Why talk about Bubba Wallace? Well, Bubba Wallace happens to be African-American. If you know anything about NASCAR, NASCAR isn't the sport that most African-Americans gravitate towards, too. You know, it's one of those things where you're a kid that lives in the country, you grow up loving cars, you find a passion, and you know, it just kind of sticks with you, and you love it, and you go with it, and it's kind of what Bubba did. You know, he's the first African American driver since Wendell Scott last complete season in 1971. So it's been a while. You know, it's been a long time. And the best performance by an African American since Wendell Scott's 13th place finish in the 1966 Daytona 500 race. You know, apparently after reading everything, he didn't really seem like they didn't know if he'd have a real good legitimate chance of competing in this race, but he damn sure did. He got in there, he got after it. You know, and he took the bull by the horns. You know, he said he got some encouraging words from Dale Earnhardt Jr. before the race. That's a pretty big deal. You know, Dale's royalty in the racing world. So people are watching and people are looking. You know, as I mentioned before, it's a pretty big deal. You know, the history of NASCAR, it doesn't speak for everyone. Because I've known people, you know, some African Americans that have gone down and been a part of the pit crews, like as far as doing the NASCAR experience thing. And they've got shown a lot of love, you know, but you also have some fans that are a bit much at times. You know, they sit in the stands, and I've seen images where they've had shirts where it's like NNIR, NNIN is like no niggas in NASCAR. You know what I mean? So that's kind of like the crowd you're dealing with. So to be able to kind of put up with that stuff and just being like one of a few, it's pretty awesome. You know, his press conference is pretty emotional. He broke down and cried. His mom sitting there, she was in the room on ESPN. I got a chance to see it, and she was like just so proud of her baby. And you know, being as African, is Black History Month. You know, listen, we celebrate ourselves all year round, but you know, this is the time, and you know, time of the year where it's like, this is our focus, this is our, you know, our focal point, and everybody's on us and showing us props and showing us love. And it's like, he does something amazing like this. I thought it was pretty dope. You know, he gets in there, he's emotional, he kind of knows what he's carrying. I think for me, I think what he could do, he's in a position to do what Tiger did for golf and NASCAR, and hopefully, like, it kind of springboards him into different positions. I think it's a little bit harder to kind of sell a kid, you know, from the inner city on doing something NASCAR related. And I understand NASCAR's been trying to get the diversity up. You know, black people make 6% of the fan base up. So you got 94% of Caucasian and just others outside of blacks, you know. And I know they've had a few guys, they got a real good diversity program where they have people intern for them, and they try to reach outside the box because they kind of know what kind of, you know, what people think of NASCAR outside the box. You know, it's almost like a thing where it says like, oh, well, not saying NASCAR has ever issued a statement saying you're not welcome. You know, just the fan base sitting inside of the stands and just kind of being a part of that. It's something I would love to sit there and go through a Daytona 500, but it's just like, will I be comfortable sitting there watching it? I think what Bubba has a chance to do, he's a young dude too, man. I think what he has a chance to do is pretty remarkable. He can get out there, he can kind of bust his tail. He can, you know, do things the right way, drive the right way, and you know, represent his sport and represent himself and his family in the right way. And I think it all will work out. I mean, what Tiger did for golf was amazing. A lot of kids were interested in golf, myself included. I mean, hell, why was I watching golf on a Sunday beforehand? Well, Tiger got me interested in golf. You know, as much as he denied it, Tiger's black. You know, he may have been Polynesian, but when I looked on the TV, I saw a brown skin dude that looked like me, you know? So it made me a little bit more, it made me a little interested in what he did and how he did it. So, big shout out to Bubba Wallace. Big deal. It's a huge deal. I mean, the Daytona 500 is like the race of all races. If he didn't finish second, if, you know, his future bodes well. I like what he did. I like what he's doing, and looking forward to him and seeing what his future holds. So, shout out to Bubba Wallace. Remember the name. Write it down. Take a picture, and pay attention to him. Hopefully, he can help bring the sport up and make it more attractive in the eyes of African Americans. All right. This next story kind of, I don't know, it kind of really, not pisses me off, but it kind of makes me feel like, you know, it's just, look, whatever, I'll dive right into it. I mean, I'm sure anybody who watches football, who knows football and knows the story, you know who Ray Caruth is. You know, Ray Caruth's been locked up since 2001 when he was sentenced for trying to kill his then pregnant girlfriend, Sharika Adams. You know, he's expected to be released on October 22nd. He basically got sentenced to 18 years and 24 years. At the time, you know, he penned a 15-page letter to Sandra Adams. That was Sharika Adams' mom. He sent that to a Charlotte TV station, and they got a hold of it. And of course, they published it, and ESPN posted it and chopped up details. You know, he's expressed, you know, when he gets out of jail October 22nd, apparently he's expressed interest in, like, getting full custody of his son. And it's kind of like, dog, like, you want custody of your son that you try to really kill. You know, it's really one of those things where it makes you scratch your head because it's like, bro, you trying to kill this little kid. You didn't want this kid. Now you want custody of your son. You know what I mean? And it's like, you know, he's apologizing now, you know, for the loss of her daughter, you know, Sandra Adams' daughter. He's apologizing for what happened to his son because obviously everybody who knows the story, son Chandler Lee Adams suffered from cerebral palsy, you know, as a result of the traumatic birth after his mom got shot, you know, and it was she's a pretty courageous woman. You know, she got shot and was able to call police and alert them to who did it. It was him, obviously, you know, because she was on a date with him that night. And had she not had that courage to do so, you know, he would have gotten away with it. It would have been nothing. It would have, you know, I'm sure eventually something would have happened. It would have been like, you know, Panthers wide receiver's girlfriend is found murdered, and it would have found a way to get linked back to him. But with her being able to call in, it was faster, you know, and then a guy testified against him. So it was an ugly thing. I personally think he should have received life for this. But it comes down to him being a typical male athlete, you know, that was young at the time, very egotistical, you know, sleeping with a woman, he's, you know, unprotected. And then she got pregnant. You know, us as adults, we all know what happens. You have sex unprotected, you know, you're going to, there's a few things that can happen. You're going to catch an STD, you know, you can catch HIV, or somebody's going to get pregnant. You know what I mean? I hope it's never that, you know, it's just, it's a bunch of things. You know, it's like if you're a woman, you sleep around with a bunch of different people, you know, and they're unprotected, you know, you could either get an STD and you may not know who it comes from, or you may have a chance, you get pregnant and you end up on Maury because you don't know who the father is, you know? So it's a chance that a lot of things happen. So for me, you know, apparently this stems from him not wanting to pay child support, and it ended up like this. And I feel like, look, you know, I wish him no harm when he comes out of prison. You know, he has to deal with what he has to deal with. He has to deal with what he's done every day for the rest of his life. But I think he's a disgrace. I think he's a piece of crap. I mean, because I make nowhere near what he made as an NFL player. And, you know, child support is expensive as shit. But I never wanted to once go ahead and get rid of my children. I'm like, oh, my children's mom because of it. I mean, were times where I really couldn't stand her because I felt like I shouldn't be having it because I shouldn't have to pay child support, of course. Especially if you're a guy that you handle your business, and you do what you're supposed to do. But if it's a guy that you're sleeping with a woman who's a dancer, I believe Sharika Adams was a dancer, and you get with her, you sleep with her, you kind of know what's going to happen. You can't expect it to be like, oh, nah, I'm not doing this. Like, yo, bro, like, she's pregnant with a baby. Like, you cannot get upset at that. Like, it's just really weird, like, how he acted or whatever. So, and how he handled it. I just thought it was just wrong, you know, because the little boy could have had a healthy life, healthier life. You know, you could be living regular, you could be living normal. You know, you're going to get ready to graduate from high school now, you know, and not having to be, you know, disabled. Now the grandmother has to deal with this goddamn nightmare of a guy that killed her daughter. You know, she says she's forgiven him her heart, but I mean, it's a lot. You're looking at, I mean, come on, how's it look? You're going to be cool with the guy that killed your child? It takes a lot of forgiveness. I mean, even the strongest Christian is going to sit there and have some doubts like, man, your mind's going to wander. But I just think, you know, for him, I feel no remorse. I just think, you know, I hope they don't give the grandmother too much stress and with this foolishness, because him wanting a kid, and come on, man. Like, let the kid stay in that happy home. You know, maybe seeing him, something can be worked out. The police can bring the kid, you know. But it's like, this kid doesn't know him. Kid will never really know him. He didn't want him. Now all of a sudden, you want him, you want custody of him. I find it to be comical. I think Ray Carruffy, you know, I don't know. It bothers me to think about him because of what he did. You know, guys out here doing crazy shit, man, and it's one of the things that he did. An athlete who didn't want to pay child support. He wasn't the first, and it's not going to be the last. I mean, he decided to kill someone, and now he wants to come home and try to make everything right. These guys are crazy, man, but, I mean, like I said, man, best of luck to him, man. I don't wish him no harm, but I'm not sitting here wishing him good luck either. So, that being said, I'll be back to take a quick break and bring back some more news. Yo, as we get off of sports, man, I want to talk about this Black Panther movie, man. It was amazing. It was pretty awesome. It's the number one movie in America. The movie was incredible. Lots of hidden messages, lots of hidden gems for us Black folks. Just, it's a damn good movie. Like, everybody was sitting there thinking it was going to be political. It was going to be this. Look, it was awesome. It was awesome. It was awesome. I think, like, it was just so amazing. Like, just to watch all that Black excellence on the screen, just to watch it, just to see the women out there in the forefront, on the front line, fighting and just defending their land and their home turf. Like, it was very encouraging, very empowering. I'm sure, like, a lot of women looked at that and was like, holy shit, like, it's amazing. I enjoyed it so much. I mean, it was like, it was amazing. I was in the theater sitting there in excitement. Like, everybody in the theater, like, in front of me, behind me, right next to me, were just like, all, they were just totally excited. I thought it was just the dopest thing ever, you know? So, you know, pretty awesome, pretty damn good. If you haven't seen it yet, I think you should get out there and go see it. You know, they set tons of records. I don't even have the exact box office number, but I know they said they made a shitload of money this weekend. And I mean, the marketing behind it, the costuming behind it, it's just amazing, man. I think people should really be proud of it, especially Black folks, man. You know, You know, it was just really like it was amazing, man. Like I loved it all. I thought the characters were awesome. They played their part. They did what they had to do. You know, it set a lot of records this weekend. You know, as I'm sitting here talking to you right now, I'm actually trying to look it up and see what comes up on the Forbes list. But the Forbes the movie list, it was like $235 million this weekend, man. It was incredible. And I probably could be wrong. You know what I mean? So it earned $201.8 million from Friday to Sunday. And they said it's going to earn an estimated $235 million between Friday, between the holiday, you know, Friday to Monday holiday. So it's crazy, man. Like, it's amazing. So, you know, Ryan Coogler, he's amazing. Chadwick Boseman played the hell out of his part. Michael B. Jordan is dope. I mean, he had like a pretty powerful quote as well. Like, a lot of people may have won over some people's heads, but in the movie, he was like, bury me in the ocean with my ancestors that jumped from the ships because they knew death was better than bondage. I'll leave it at that. You know, it's definitely a powerful message. Let it sink in. Let it marinate. You know, I'll say this. This movie proves again that, yeah, diversity sells. Don't believe the hype. You know, we need to get African-Americans out there in the forefront a little bit more. We need the opportunities. You know, Viola Davis shouldn't be said, oh, you're like the black Meryl Streep. No, you should just be Viola Davis. It shouldn't be anything else outside of that. You know what I mean? So I think this shows that we've got the star power. We can make the movie. You know, everybody else was out there saying dumb shit. Like, it's nothing to do with anything else. But this is the movie. This is Wakanda. Let it be. Like, people are going crazy because, you know, people are coming to the movies in African garb and they're doing this and doing that. Granted, some people are doing what they want to do, but hey, would you rather them do that or you rather something else happen in the movie theater? Nothing has happened all weekend. People are coming up with these fake posts. Oh, I went there and this happened. They attacked me because I'm white and I'm this and that. And I'm not going on some kind of anti-white rant because anybody who knows me knows that's not my style. You know, that's not it. I'm just saying, like, the trolls on the internet do that dumb shit. And they kind of cause things and they take away from the joyous moments and things of that nature. This movie was the shit. Movie was dope. Movie was awesome. It was incredible. I think, like, anybody should go check it out. When I went to my movie theater, it was pretty mixed. It was a mixed crowd. You know, people were enjoying it. Everybody enjoyed it, man. It was awesome. Like, you know, if you're a comic book head, then of course you really enjoyed it a lot more. I'm not a comic book head and I still enjoyed it. You know, the message it sent, so, you know, for me too, a lot of times you think about Africa, what do you see? You know, you see a lot of poverty. You know, you don't really get to see how beautiful Africa really is. Granted, Wakanda is made up and it's fictional, but yo, listen, it's a lot of things in there, man. It's a lot of beauty to Africa. The land was amazing. The land was beautiful. So don't sleep on it. You know, like, again, just go check it out. The hidden messages, really, like, the jewels for black folks, especially, like, take that and run with it. And, you know, we can kind of sit there and, you know, we can show our power, man. But, you know, salute to the cast. Anybody who hasn't seen it, go check it out. Do not watch it on Fire Stick. Do not stream it on your laptops or whatever. Go check it out, though, man. You're definitely well worth the wait. Thank you for tuning in, like always. And like I ask you every week, I'm going to continue to ask you, please head over to iTunes, subscribe to my podcast. You know, you go to iTunes, go to podcast, search the Jamon Bolton Show, hit subscribe. You know, I definitely appreciate the support. You know, before I go, I'd also love to thank my sponsor, Troy Manson Signature Socks. I'd also like to show love to my peoples over at All Things Hoops, my man Cal Griffin and his crew. You can check them out at www.allthingshoops.com. And you can check them out on Instagram at @allthings_hoops and on Twitter at @allthingshoops. All right, man. But before I go, I want to talk about that national anthem real quick. What the hell was Fergie thinking? Yo, that was some crazy shit. That was bugged out. Marvin Gaye and Whitney Houston turning over in their graves right now. I mean, I get it. She released a statement saying she tried her best, but god damn, man. Like, NBA did everything right this weekend, man, but they dropped the ball on that one. You see the players' faces. I mean, Fergie, you know, she cool, she dope. She doing what she do for, she's doing what she wants to do for a living, but man, that Star Spangled Banner was kind of terrible, man. So, you know, there are plenty of things that could do a much better job. So, they need to look at other places, man. Want to give a few more little notes right now before I go. The Boston Red Sox just signed free agent J.D. Martinez, five-year, $110 million deal, $50 million to be paid out over the first two seasons. So it's a pretty big pickup for them, heading into spring training, obviously. So they got some more firepower on the live bat. Over the weekend, we saw Danny Garcia. He knocked out Brandon Rios. Pretty good knockout, ninth-round knockout. Sean Porter jumped in the ring afterwards. They got a heated discussion, so we're looking forward to seeing that fight. That should be one of the next big fights that come up in boxing. Also want to bring up I hate bringing this up. Not that I hate bringing it up, but it's like so damn annoying. It's 2018. We're bringing up racial taunts. Fans in Toronto are watching Capitals forward Devontae Smith-Pelly in Chicago. You know, he's one of the few blacks in a National Hockey League. They were suspended from all games, all remaining Blackhawk home games. I mean, I think they should have probably been banned from the building for life, but not my decision to make. You know, he was in the penalty box. They were sitting there taunting him. Screaming basketball, basketball. Obviously, if you pay attention and you know hockey's not really an African-American sport, they were giving them some grief about it. So, you know, what can I do? I can't say I'm surprised. I mean, it kind of happened. It is what it is. But they're banned. You know, I'm not saying it's going to be the last time this ever happened, but, you know, fans get a few drinks in them and they know how they really feel. We know how they really feel. So it is what it is, you know. Sorry you had to go through that, but it's a part of life, I guess, you know, in certain leagues and in certain sports. But, you know, thanks for tuning in today, man. I appreciate you guys, man. Enjoy your night. I'll be back in a few more days with some more sport news, man. You know, as the world of sports goes, I go. So hopefully I have some great news to talk with you guys about in the next couple of days. Again, thank you for the support. Thanks for everything. Thanks for listening, and I'll speak to you guys soon.